Once again, to welcome all of you for this Srimad Bhagavatam class, and it will be most probably my last class here in New Govardhan. And I obviously have thought, what will his last words be? So I will talk about something from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I still need to find it. So. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. My dear Lord, by your form as the Vedas personified, and through knowledge relating to the activities of all the yajnic brahmanas, you spread the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of the seven kinds of sacrifices headed by the Agnishtoma sacrifice. Indeed, you inspire the yajnic brahmanas to perform the rituals mentioned in the three Vedas. Being the supreme soul, the super soul of all living entities, you are beginningless, endless and omniscient, beyond the limits of time and space. Purport. The Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, the knowledge thereof, and the person who agrees to perform them are inspired by the Supreme Soul. So the ceremonies, the knowledge of the ceremonies, and the person who agrees to perform them are inspired by the Supreme Soul. The ceremonies are God-given. The knowledge is how to perform them is also God-given. And someone who performs these ceremonies will have an inspiration by the Supreme Soul. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mata smritya jnanam apohanam cha. From the Lord come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Supersoul is situated in everyone's heart. Savasya chaham hridi sanivishta ishvara savabhutanam hridesh ajuna tishtati. And when one is advanced in Vedic knowledge, the Supersoul gives him directions. Acting as Supersoul, the Lord gives inspiration to a suitable person to perform the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. In this connection, four classes of priests, known as Ritvik, are required. They are mentioned as Hota, Advaryu, Brahma, and Udgata. Yes. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyare Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Is it difficult for you to access the Veda base through this machine? Then we know our Krishna Kirtan Prabhu has a machine which can access the Veda base. Maybe we could help them. I'm sorry. It's a Srimad Bhagavatam verse which is cited by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I believe it is recited in the Adi Leela chapter 7, I believe. If it is not, it is in one of the beginning verses. Since you're looking there, it is in the discussion between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master and himself. Mahaprabhu recounts there how his spiritual master gave him a mantra which made him mad. Hare Krishna. So maybe the other pandits with their machines can look for this. The Bhagavatam verse Aniruddha and Krishna Kirtan is called Evam, E-V-A-M, Evam Vrata, V-R-A-T-A-H. Evam Vrata Sva, S-V-A, Priyanama Kirtya. You only need the first things. We're trying to use our machines here in Krishna's service. I'm sorry, everything today, I just decided today, let me just chant as many rounds as possible. You found it, we know it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be able to read. Canto 11, yeah. Chapter 2, text 4.
Yeah, but the question is, where is it quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita? Yeah. So if you look at the same thing, Chaitanya Charitamrita.
It's on Adilila 794.
Oh yeah, we found it. We know it's a teacher. Adilila 794. Yeah. You said.
Adilila 7, chapter 7.
Yeah, Adilila chapter 7. So we found it. I'm sorry, but sometimes. What to do? 94. Do you have Adi Leela? Do you have chapter 7? Then it's easy to find 94. Oh God, good. Thank you very much. Yes, it's exactly this part. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. So Hare Krishna, Mayapur TV devotees, everything is now in tune. Namo, we did this already. This verse today talks about sacrifice. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he sent forth at the beginning of creation the knowledge of sacrifice, because it is through the knowledge of sacrifices or ceremonies that the soul can connect with the Lord. It's even said when the sacrificial fire ascends upwards, you know, you light it and the fire comes out of the firewood and starts to move upwards. It actually carries the performer of the ceremony, of the sacrifice, upwards. That's the idea of the Vedic fire sacrifices. They connect us with Krishna, really. So that knowledge, how to do it, comes from Krishna, and he also comes into the heart and inspires someone who does these Vedic sacrifices. Now, as you can well imagine from reading from listening to the purport, where there are four classes of priests mentioned, who have different functions during the sacrifice. For instance, there is the one who chants the mantras, but just to make sure that he does not mispronounce any mantra, there is a second one next to him who just checks him all the time. At the second, the millisecond, he pronounces the mantras wrong, the second one interferes and chants above his vibration, the correct vibration, almost like Tippex, erasing the old vibration. Because the knowledge is so precise that if a mantra is wrongly intonated, then you will get an entirely different result of your sacrifice than the one which was originally intended. These mantras chanted in sacrifice, in other words, are like powerful weapons that if they are not aimed properly, they might shoot the one who wants to use them. So it's very complex knowledge, and I'm not so expert really in this. I've never studied it. I only know that it's not possible to perform these intricate mantras in the modern times. I thought it was when we did our Pran Pratishtha Yajna in Bavaria. We invited one priest who's highly learned, and he said to us, I will now invoke the sacrificial fire by mantra. And he started to chant. And then he did like this, and poof, a fire burst out. And I thought, wow, this is impressive. To make a fire just by sound vibration means that you can make many things by sound vibration. And I really, really, really congratulate the priest. And he smiled and acknowledged my compliment. Later I found out that he had put a certain chemical in the fire pit, had put another certain chemical on his ladle, you know, it's like a big wooden spoon, and conveniently touched chemical A to chemical B, which resulted in a chemical reaction, and the end result was fire. I was so disappointed. I needed 3 days to recover from the shock. And I never forget this as a traumatic experience in my spiritual life, which taught me to place my faith properly. Not in Vedic sacrifices, but who are really described in this age of in this particular age to be extremely difficult to perform. There may be some sacrifices which are still effective. Not maybe, there certainly are. But to do them, you need really absolute experts. This is explained by my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, in various places. But he says that there's one divine sacrifice which connects the individual soul with the Lord, which can even be performed in this age of Kali, in this present time. And guess what? This sacrifice can be done by anyone. During the sacrifice, something very wonderful and mystical happens, which really results in the birth of your spiritual identity at the end. So, I would love to speak about this sacrifice, which is described by the spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to him. And it is the meeting of guru and disciple is recited here in the Adi Lila chapter 7. It's a very, very interesting conversation which I would like to repeat today for the benefit of all of you. I believe if you understand the essence of this conversation between guru and disciple, you will be actually convinced to perform this particular sacrifice or ceremony which can connect you with the Lord on a regular daily basis with utmost attention. Wow. Thank you so much. That makes that I don't need to speak that loud. I can speak normally. Thank you very much. Let me frame a little bit this conversation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as most of us know, but I would just say it because we have some exalted guests this morning, and both in the temple room and in the computer. I mean, before the computer, not in the computer. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation of Krishna in this present age, who has come to bring the Yuga Dharma, that is the ceremonial sacrifice which is done in this age of Kali. He also had a personal reason. He wanted to relish the highest mysteries of the relationship of Radha and Krishna. And that is a whole different chapter which I will not get into this morning. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled the whole Indian continent, and on his journey he met different spiritualists in India, and he had a profound impact on their spirituality. One of the personalities whom he met was Prakashananda Saraswati, a highly esteemed guru of the Shankara Sampradaya, it's a lineage, who resided with his 60,000 disciples in Varanasi at the bank of the Ganga. Yes, 60,000. He was highly influential. He was the religious head of Varanasi. He was in charge, really. And Prakashananda Saraswati had very, very high reservations, if not outward aggression, towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu belonged to the, was initiated formally in the same order which he represented, but he just went totally out of the customary religious duties. The Shankara Sampradaya is known for very reserved, very renounced behavior. What they do is they meditate in silent meditation, and read and understand the highly philosophical texts of the Vedanta Sutra. Gauranga Mahaprabhu, on the other hand, didn't do all this. What he did is he went on the streets and did what is absolutely forbidden for the members of the Shankara Sampradaya. He engaged in loud singing and dancing on the streets. He attracted thousands and after some time millions to his enigmatic kirtans. And he came into fits of devotional ecstasies which spread to all the participants, who then started to laugh and cry and roll in the streets. Hare Krishna. This was a scandal. It would be, let us say, if our highly esteemed Gaurahari would you know, go into Muli Vumba, or however this town is called, and he would just take off his clothes, leaving only his kopen, that is the last ultimate clothes, and start to dance, scream, jump high, and eat ice cream. We would say, Gaurahari. What went into you? What came into you? So Prakashananda had high reservations, but he wanted to discuss the issues. He wanted to, he invited Ranga Mahaprabhu to come to a meeting where he had assembled all these venerable sannyasis of Varanasi who were his pupils and disciples, and he wanted to have a debate with Gauranga Mahaprabhu on this and correct him if possible. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the assembly, something very unusual took place. All those who were waiting to see this renegade member of their lineage saw it. Everyone saw it. The old, the young, and most importantly, Prakashananda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was really tall, entered the foot washing place before the dining hall. And he did not enter the dining hall. He sat in that dirty place which was full of the sweat and of the dirt from the street, and he did not go into the dining hall. That is a very impossible beginning of a debate when the person doesn't show up, So Prakashananda went to this place, and as he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw a luminous light which spread from him in all directions. It was as if a second sun had appeared there. And Prakashananda was visibly touched. He said, "You look like the Brahman personified. Would you kindly come to our place? This is a dirty place." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked very humbly into the eyes of the elderly sannyasi who had so much reservation towards him, and he said, "I'm not fit to sit with you. You are too exalted." No. "That's all right. I saw something in you. Shows me that you are very exalted. You please come." And he personally brought him, and he seated him, and he said, "Why do you sing with low class people in the street and dance? Why?" This was the question. This was the challenge. This needed an answer. Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, started to speak something which became so endearing to everyone, and where he spoke really about the essence of spiritual practice according to the Vedic tradition in this age of Kali. And at the end, or in the middle, he spoke a verse from the Bhagavatam, which was known to these scholars, which is the essence of the whole work. In this verse, the whole message or the whole essence of the Bhagavatam is encapsulated, the English word is. Thank you. Encapsulated. It's embedded in there. And when you understand this conversation which took place and understand this verse, your life will make a paradigm shift. So let me go without any further ado into this. I will for a moment. Yes. The speaker should never sit higher than the Bhagavatam. But I think the stand is all right. We can. Oh yeah, here is another table. This book is worshipable for us, therefore the one who speaks from this book, out of respect, will never sit higher than the book. It's an offense. So, some traditional informations. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear sir, kindly hear the reason. The reason why I break all the principles which you have. My spiritual master considered me to be a fool, and therefore he spoke strongly to me. He said, 'You are a fool. You are not qualified to study Vedanta philosophy.'" That's what all these scholars who listen to him do. "And therefore you must always chant the holy name of Krishna. This is the essence of all mantras of the Vedic hymns." Then my spiritual master told me about the result, what this chanting will bring about. He said, "Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can obtain freedom from material existence." You know, the purpose of all spiritual practice is liberation, which has different liberation, goes into different directions, but liberation from birth and death. Everyone has this in common, all the lineages. And he continued, "Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will actually be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord." And then he said, "This is in all the Vedic scriptures, and my spiritual master quoted a verse to convince me, a verse from Brihat Aranya, which is it, the Harinama Shloka, it's from a respectable Vedic scripture. Some of you know this verse, and please chant it with me. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. So the claim was, no need to engage in all these studies of Vedic scriptures, just chant the essence, just take to the essence. And the claim had to be substantiated by a verse from the scriptures. You can't just say this is what the scriptures say and say anything. You have to prove it. So here he gives the proof. In this age of Kali, there is no alternative, no alternative, no alternative, three times, for spiritual progress than the holy name, the holy name, the holy name of the Lord. It's very clear. The case is settled as far as the Vedic tradition is concerned. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then speaks about his experience. He said, "I have had faith in the words of my spiritual master. I did it, and something happened with me. As I chanted, I was losing myself and started to laugh, cry, dance and sing just like a madman." So he developed a doubt. Is everything going according to plan? Yeah. And he came back to his spiritual master to tell him what happened and asked for some feedback. He said, "My dear Lord," you know, very respectful, "my dear sir," we would say, like Madreya addresses devotees like this. My dear sir, what kind of mantra have you given me? I have become mad simply by chanting this Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna. I am caused to dance and laugh and cry. So when he then says, when my spiritual master heard this, he smiled. And he said, it's all right. It's the nature of chanting Hare Krishna that ecstatic love is invoked in the heart. And then he spoke a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam which proves that the chanting does this. Lord Chaitanya said, saying this, my spiritual master taught me one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the essence of all the Bhagavatam's instructions. The essence. Therefore, again and again he spoke to me about this. And here is the verse for you. And then I will talk freely. I know sometimes in the morning when we hear so much scriptural quotations, we go like, oh my God, when does it ever end? Evam vrata svapriya nama kirtya jatanurago druta citta uchai hasyat ato rodita rodika yati unmada vangnityati lokabhaya. The verse says, when a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. And he also laughs, he cries, he becomes agitated and chants just like a madman, not caring for outsiders. My dear devotees, here you hear what is the essence of this spiritual life. You're meant to become an ecstatic lover. Hare Krishna, has this ever come to your mind? This is about ecstasy. It's called bhava. Bhava is a precursor to love. Love has to do with ecstasy, with a deep, overwhelming spiritual emotion ultimately for the beloved. And this brings you, the chanting brings you to this level where one day your heart becomes so much melted that these symptoms will there. First you will see Krishna, and this is what is described in this verse. He loudly chants the name. He also laughs. Why does he laugh? Because he sees the Lord. And he may see him as a little boy, with a dark bluish complexion, stealthily entering into the house of an elderly cowherd woman and stealing the butter. So the devotee has this divine vision of the Lord looking and making sure no one is around. It's a loving vision of the Lord. And then the elderly gopi sees this and starts to go, again the butter thief. She has prayed from morning till evening that Krishna comes and accepts her efforts of churning butter. But outwardly, this is loving dealings. It is not, you have to be ready to understand something about love. Love is expressed sometimes indirectly. Outwardly, she is, can you steal my butter? And Krishna starts to run. And the devotee who has this vision starts to laugh. But as Krishna runs, he runs out of the vision of the devotee. He disappears. And then the devotee cries, where have you gone? Oh, the one who has stolen my heart. I'm depleted. My greatest wealth is gone. And then the devotee cries, where are you, O Lord of my heart? Is there any way that we can be reunited again? And as Krishna hears these loving cries of his devotee, he cannot keep himself hidden. This will happen also to you when you start to chant with tears of love in your eyes. The Lord just cannot keep himself away. So he again comes, and that agitates the devotee so much that he begins to jump up, seeing Krishna having regained his all and everything, and starts to chant like a madman without caring for the criticism of the world, you know, the outsiders who think. That was the reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he chanted, became so overwhelmed. He had these divine visions of the Lord, who also may come in many, he comes in millions of forms to his devotees. And he danced and chanted on the street. It was not like modern dancing, where some effort has to go into the dancing steps, like step dance. I know to dance step dance and waltz. I was in a dance school before Krishna consciousness. They were very complicated. Forget it all together. It's not. It jumps voluntarily from the heart, of which is infused with divine ecstasy. It's a loving dance. Love is the dance teacher in this dance, who teaches the steps. And that's what Gauranga Mahaprabhu said. This verse is the essence of all Vedic scriptures. Why? Because it describes the essential yajna or ceremony which reconnects the soul with the Lord. In this yajna or ceremony, something wonderful happens. In a yajna, something is offered, most importantly, clarified butter or ghee. It is done so with a yajnic spoon, a ladle. There are different sorts of ladles. So it is here that the yajna is done in a special way. You chant and your tongue becomes the spoon through which the offering is done. What is offered here? It's the holy name. You use your tongue, Hare Krishna. And you pour this into the sacrificial pit, which is the heart. And as you pour it, just like in any Vedic fire sacrifice, the flames go high. That means your devotional ecstasies become increased. And the purpose of all yajna does not wait long. In a Vedic yajna, at the end of the yajna, from the fire, the person who was called, that's a form of God, the Yajna Purusha, would appear and grant the result of all this yajna. So when this type of chanting, or this type of yajna, the Nam Yajna, the sacrifice of the holy name is done, then also in the heart of the devotees, Krishna appears. He's present there. He is not able to keep himself for a long time away. So in this movement for Krishna consciousness, we have been called the Hare Krishna people. And it is a good name for us. That's what we are. That's our process. That is what we do, so to say, for self-realization. And everyone who applies this process has to learn a little bit what makes it work and what doesn't make it work. Just like in the Vedic fire yajna, there are certain rules and regulations so that the end result happens. Mistakes cannot be done. If mistakes are done, it just won't work. Might even work opposite. But this is this Nam Yajna is not dangerous. It's not dangerous. It's always. It just doesn't work when you don't know how to do it. And therefore, it is good for all of the members of the Hare Krishna movement to learn to do this Yajna very, very nicely. This was the purpose of, it was the attempt to teach that in the Harinam retreat. I wish all of you that you will become a good and accomplished personalities who know how to perform the Nam Yajna with utmost attention. The essential principle is really not so complex. It's to bring your mind to the sound vibration of the holy name. That's how you enter it. It's a whole science, yoga science, really, how to connect the mind with the mantra. But if you do that, then that wonderful results will come. I liked very much what Gaurahari said in one of his workshops in the second retreat. He said something very nice about the mind. It was very psychologically attuned. Like he became a professor of psychology for a moment. He said, if you don't give the mind something to do, the mind will give you something to do. It's just like this. Either you say, my dear mind, you do this, this and this, while you chant, or the mind will say, my dear Krishna Das, my dear Radha Devi Dasi, you do this, 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 this. Remember this. Remember your dress, which you always wanted to wear this afternoon. This was a typical Mataji inspiration of the mind, and the men will think, they will think men things. Remember that preparation for the Sunday feast? The mind will say, wasn't it good? Maybe there's a leftover in the kitchen and you could steal some of it. The mind will give you something to do in the kitchen. I'm giving some harmless examples, you need to engage the mind while you chant the holy name. The mind is the king of all the other senses, and you need to bind it with some task to the holy name. The task is simple to listen, but as we all know, it's not so easy for the mind to listen. So you give it something like listen to, just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. Then the mind has to go to, first of all, you have to do something, you have to chant sincerely. That's one task for the mind. Okay, how do we do this? Chant sincerely. Okay, in a prayerful mood. And then you try to pick that up. That's the second task. Prabhupada said this as a simple formula for beginners in chanting the holy name. He said, just try to hear yourself chant sincerely. So for that, you just produce a prayerful sound vibration. You turn to the Lord and ask Him, please engage me in your service. And then you listen to that and you will find out the mind is captured. It has now something to do, and it will stop making you do something or think something. This is a little technique I would like to share with all of you this morning, so that it makes you move. My dear devotees, you don't have to be super good or qualified to do this sacrifice. You just need a little faith in this. And for that, it's good to read, understand philosophy, and so on and so forth. But it's all about faith, which is the entry door. I must confess to you something personal. I will now not talk like so much from the scripture, but from my own experience. I developed a big crisis. It was happening from today's perspective in the midst of my spiritual life, like 20 years ago, I think. I could see that my heart had not really changed. When I was honest and observed my thoughts, observed my spontaneous reaction to things which happened in my life, I could really see there was not much of a change than when I entered the movement. I had to be honest. Yes, I was now dressed like a monk. I was shaved up. My head sparkled. Yes, I knew how to move about. I could speak the philosophy and so on. Yes, I was also able to perform all the required activities in Krishna consciousness. But my heart had not really changed. And I developed a crisis. My question, simply put, was, am I on the right path? Yes or no? And if yes, then I must be doing something wrong. So I had somehow faith that because I had seen the example of my spiritual master, which totally impressed me. I thought, well, he's really the most exalted soul whom I had met so far, and I was comparing him, obviously, as a young disciple does, to other spiritual luminaries, and I really felt for myself I want to follow him. That was very clear to me. So then I said, well, maybe I'm doing the process wrong. And I went on a search. I went back. I rewound my spiritual life, going back to the beginning stage. I started to really become interested in what he had said about chanting. I collected the statements. Even now you can see where I live. I have a huge, huge, huge shelves full of statements about the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then I understood I had made many mistakes in my practice, and I started to work on them. I'm not a perfect chanter by all means, but just a little work which was done, I can honestly say now, I'm satisfied, I'm content, I'm confident, I feel, as you put in simple words, very convinced and very satisfied in my heart with this process. So, I was very amazed when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told these sannyasis of the Shankara Sampradaya his discussion with his spiritual master, who told him this is the essence, and who told him a verse which he considered the essence of the whole Bhagavatam, and which is all about chanting. And you know, he won the hearts of his audience as he talked. He won the hearts of, Lord Chaitanya won the hearts of the Mayavadi by his humility and by his, in Indian language you would say, Indian English, simplicity. He went just right to the point. And of course, then a discussion ensued, but at the end of the discussions, all the sannyasis led by Prakashanandi, said, okay, we see your point. Let's do kirtan. Let's shed. And Lord Chaitanya then led them in a grand procession. It was the greatest kirtan and the most amazing kirtan which was ever seen in Varanasi or Kashi. All these 60,000 sannyasis who really commanded respect and, you know, amazed the inhabitants, the townspeople of Kashi by it was a real, real ecstatic kirtan. There are sometimes pictures. I hope maybe I can show you. Yeah, this is actually in the books. It's very nice. You see, that's the beginning of the discussion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sits in that dirty place and is effulgent like the sun. Can you see it from the distance? And there is this Prakashananda Saraswati, the leader of all the venerable sannyasis, coming to him and say, well, why do you sit here? And Mahaprabhu says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I'm not fit to sit with you. No. I can see some light coming from you. You please come. So then he sits there. And then, I like this painting very much. I hope it's there. No, it's not there. There is a painting where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there leading a kirtan with all these 60,000 monks, and they all go into the highest level of devotional ecstasy. It's a very nice photo. Here's something like it. I like it, you know. He goes to the bathing ghats of Varanasi, and there is a huge kirtan. You can see the heads of everyone is upraised like we do in kirtan. Anyways, it's. And do you know what? What, you may say. They are still chanting there. The followers of the Shankara Sampradaya, when they have finished their study, they have not given up their studies of the Vedanta Sutra. They are quite attached to this. But when they finished, they close the book and they start dancing and chanting. Nowhere else in India they do it, but here they do it. If you ask them why, they will say, it's our tradition. It once started long ago in the year 15,000 by our leader Prakashananda Saraswati. He met the golden avatar. And that's what we do. Hare Krishna. I hope that you all will do this. May you all become successful in your human form of life. May you be ecstatic lovers of the Lord by chanting the holy name in abundance and in a great abundance. Good. I've said what I wanted to say. Hare Krishna. Is there maybe one question? Still have a few minutes. Siamasaki, are you convinced of this, Siamasaki? Yes, well, I think it is all right because there is no other question. Everyone else is convinced from the point I made. Yes, Siamasaki. Yes. I will repeat what you have said to the audience here before the computers. It's a question which refers to taking care of our, or relates to the taking care of our spiritual roots in the tree of life. That's the best way, is to nourish them early in the morning, but sometimes the day is so full that right after getting up we have to already prepare ourselves, and immediately after showers and everything, we need to rush to get to the duties of the day. So how can we then have take care of our spiritual roots? I would answer by saying, touch the fire once. In other words, you may not have the opportunity to have a lengthy spiritual program, but you always have a minute or 2 minutes to turn to Krishna. And you can do this by going before your altar. You can start your day by chanting a very powerful prayer, which I would like to introduce you to personally. It's a very powerful prayer. If you chant that regularly, you are guaranteed to see Radha and Krishna at the end of your life. You just see, the point of sadhana or spiritual practice ultimately is to come in touch with Krishna. And that can be done very, very briefly. That's very briefly. It's just like the same holds true for physical exercises. There is a lengthy program, but there is a short program. If you know the yoga a little bit, you know, you can do in a short time with some powerful exercises what you can do in a long time. You can go into that place which the practitioners call the yoga zone, you know. I also am not so expert, but I need some knowledge of yoga, because without exercise I'm finished. So sometimes you can do it really fast, or you can just run 3 times around the house, and I guarantee you your circulation will be good, you know. That takes 5 minutes. And so this was an example for what I wanted to say. And you can have a short power spiritual program. It's good to do this first thing in the morning, because then you give a spiritual impression into your heart. You make an imprint in your consciousness, and you will see throughout the day you will react differently. But throughout the day you can also do these short things which bring you in contact with Krishna. You can do this through mantras, or you can just stop and just remove yourself from the situation. It's called the emotional traffic light. You can use it in a spiritual way. Say, okay, I'm an eternal spiritual soul. I'm now at the moment teaching in Mullivumba Primary School. Is it in Mullivumba where you teach? Or? Yeah, good. So there may be a pause, and you make a pause. In the pause, but I'm an eternal spiritual soul, and my life is dedicated for spiritual life. And you turn to Krishna with a sincere prayer from your heart, and you ask him to accept you, and so on. When things are getting busy, have a talk with God. Touch the fire. And when you really touch it, it takes a little intention first. You want to come in contact. If you know how to touch, you will immediately have the effect. That's so good, because the Lord is as close as your heart or your breath. And Prabhupada said very nicely, the moment you turn to Krishna, Krishna is there. And we all know it. Krishna is as close as you turn towards him. It really works, Shyama Sakhi. Maybe you will say, oh, I tried, thank you very much. This is a super theoretical answer which will not work in my case. Maybe at this present moment it is a little difficult because we are still younger devotees, but if you do this repeatedly, it will work. Now really it will work. Imagine, Prabhupada said on Jamashtami in Hamburg to his very young audience, the moment you turn to Krishna, Krishna is there. And when I heard this, I could see that also, because Krishna can be accessed through consciousness. He is on that spiritual level, and if your consciousness, which is spiritual, goes to Krishna, you will feel some contact. It just depends, obviously, a little bit on your sincerity. And maybe it takes a little time to become more and more and more sincere. But you are very sincere, I have no doubt in this. No problem, it will work. Just try it. You have maybe the programming. No, only if I have chanted 16 good rounds am I a worthy devotee and Krishna will talk to me. It's not like this. The moment you turn to him, he's there. Of course, chant your 16 rounds. I'm not saying chant not your 16 rounds. That's another subject where we can discuss why 16 rounds, why every day. But we don't want to get into this here. It is now the time where we want to take prasadam. I thank you very much for your kind attention. I wish you all the best in your personal application of these things. If you like to reread in your own reading time this amazing conversation, then I refer you to the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 7, starting with text 70 and then continuing to read onwards. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gauri Thai ki jai, Sisi Radha Gaur Madana Dhari ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.